Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
We're making pizzas today on Earth Eats. One recipe, an infinite number of ways to mix it up. It's really nice to be able to walk into a restaurant and use all the bells and whistles in the kitchen. Food processors, fryers, sous chefs, and a wood stone oven. Our pizza recipe today is, I think, the third or fourth recipe on Earth Eats that's used this pretty amazing kitchen appliance.
So if you don't have a big fancy wood stone oven like this, you could use a pizza stone, which you can buy at a gourmet store. And basically it's a ceramic tile, and you put that in your oven, you let that preheat, and then you put your pizza right on there, and it'll give you the same effect as this big oven, and it'll be less than $20,000.
Megan Meyer is here to tell us more about getting that professional pizza taste without having a big, expensive piece of equipment.
Pizza stones. Plenty of amateur pizza chefs swear by them. If you've never used one before, it's not just a gimmick. Using a pizza stone when you cook pizza at home is a great way to ensure your crust will be baked all the way through, without soggy dough in the middle. But why do they work better than metal cookie sheets?
Generally, most metal pans have hot spots and cold spots.
I chased down chemist and science writer Lee Kreisch Berner to help explain. She says it has to do with water distribution. Remember studying capillary action in high school? How when you put the end of a piece of paper into water, the water travels right up the paper?
So a stone can basically do the same thing. It has pores where the water can travel into, and so water will travel into them because if you have an area that has a lot of water and an area that's dry, they like to even out. Nature really loves to make things even out. And so the water will travel from the crust into your stone.
That's why there isn't a gooey, undercooked spot in the center of your pizza crust. The stone enables water to escape even from the parts that don't have good contact with the hot air in the oven. Since pizza stones are just a type of ceramic, the cheap ones will work just as well as the expensive ones. For tips on how to make your own pizza stone or how to cure one once you have it, visit our website at eartheats.org. For WFIU's Earth Eats, I'm Megan Meyer.
While you're online learning more about pizza stones, become a fan of us on Facebook and follow our foodie news and notes all week long on our Twitter feed. Just look for Earth Eats. When I think of pizzas, it's cheese, tomato sauce, and pepperoni, but certainly you can do so much more with pizzas than just that.
Absolutely. We have a ton of them, and I've named some of them after my friends. I've got one called Wild Bianca. She was and still is a great friend and a bit wild. So we use wild mushrooms, ricotta, a little bit of truffle oil on that. But they can even be wilder than that. You can do a sushi pizza, a blue cheese and pear pizza with some pine nuts. We even do a bacon and egg pizza for breakfast. Mm-hmm. So that's a great brunch time pizza.
All right, let's go to the kitchen. Let's taste some pizza pies today here at Earth Eats.
Today we're going to make pizza pies. We call them farm pies here at the restaurant. What we do is we get some local ground cornmeal from Wibbs Farm. You could also mix in some whole wheat flour, some buckwheat flour, a little bit of white flour. You could also buy some frozen dough and then just use that, roll it out with some local grains, and you're going to have a nice crispy crust. And what we go for here are the thin crust pizzas. So we want to roll this out really thin. And if you're having a group of friends over, a good thing to do is, like what I've done here, is we've rolled out several in advance. So then all we have to do is everybody can make their own pizza, and we can throw it in the oven, and we're good to go.
So this is going to be a fun interactive meal.
It's great for kids. Also, if you have people that you don't really know that well coming over, it's a good thing to serve them because they can make their own, and you don't have to worry about anybody's, you know, allergies and all that kind of stuff.
And a good icebreaker for some conversation.
Yeah. The first thing we do is we take a little bit of olive oil and we put that on top of the pie dough. And what that does is it creates a little seal. So the sauce that we put on won't soak into the dough. That's a lot of times if you want that real crispy crust, you don't want to have it soggy with a lot of tomato sauce. Okay, so I'm going to follow the olive oil up with some red sauce. Now, with these thin-crusted pizzas, what you don't want to do is to overload them. All right, because you want that crust to stay really crisp and to be able to pick it up without having all of your toppings fall off. So it's very important you don't do too much sauce. Okay, and then you can look over here, and we have some of the wide variety of items that we can put on the pizzas. We have local sausage, we have pineapple, we've got kielbasa, we've got pesto, we've got mozzarella, fresh mozzarella. We've got olives, prosciutto, roasted beets, roasted fennel, wine, drunken figs, even mashed potatoes. Sometimes we put mashed potatoes and meatloaf
on it. Mashed potatoes?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really anything that you have. It's always great to kind of clean out the refrigerator, you know, use up all of those ingredients. You know, you could even make a dessert pizza with some grated chocolate and some mascarpone cheese, maybe some fresh fruit on that, some strawberries. So, I mean, you can really go wild with it, and it's really up to your own imagination. Wolfgang Puck was famous for doing a sushi pizza. So he would do kind of a flatbread, and then he would put some arugula and some raw tuna and some caviar and different things on it, some sour cream. What do you think, Annie? What would you like on yours?
See, I'm eyeing those pineapples. I love pineapple pizza.
Okay, well, then we'll do what we call our spicy Latino. Okay, so we have the pineapple. I'm going to chop up some chicken. And then we're going to put on what is called a sofrito, which is a Puerto Rican pesto, which has red and green peppers and some chilies and cilantro. Sofrito was used to start a lot of the sauces and stews, and it's kind of like the Italians use their pesto, but it has a little more spice to it. Okay, and then we're going to sprinkle some jalapenos. We're going to put a little Parmesan. Then we've got some smoked Gouda. Okay, and then we put it on the pizza peel. What I like to do is to have it get a little bit brown and crunchy around the outside, a little bit of chard. I think that really adds to the flavor. The inside's going to be a little bit less cooked. Now, with the spicy Latino, I like to garnish it with some nice big sprigs of cilantro, which you can kind of wrap around the pizza. And then we put a lime wedge on it. Okay, we're just going to cut it up into nice little bites. Okay, that's the spicy Latino.
What if I'd chosen, I don't know, the sauerkraut?
Well, what we do is we call it the Oktoberfest pie. It is kielbasa and sauerkraut and smoked mozzarella. We do a big red in honor of IU, which is tomatoes and fresh mozzarella, tomato sauce. And then we put some pesto in the middle of that. We do a Italian stallion, and that is with the drunken figs and prosciutto, and then some mascarpone. We put some fresh figs on at the end. So, you know, you can really kind of come up with themes. What I suggest people do is kind of think of whatever your favorite food is. Let's say it's Mexican. And then you could come up with a Mexican pie, maybe with some bison chilies and jalapenos and cheddar cheese, and serve some sour cream with it. For the Olympics in Beijing, we did a what we called the birdcage. So that was named after the big pool there. And so we used bean sprouts and chicken and kind of made like an Asian chicken salad and put it on top of the pizza. So just kind of think of whatever kind of party you're going to have, whatever you're celebrating, and you can create a pie around that event.
So get creative. Put some stuff on a pizza shell and send us the recipe to eartheats@gmail.com.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time. Hey guys, one more thing. We're excited to tell you about our brand new website. It has lots more recipes and photos with foodie news and notes, and a blog. In fact, if you want to blog with us about local food and green living, drop us an email at eartheats@gmail.com. Our new website, that is the place to go for all your foodie needs, eartheats.org.